Okay, our next presenter is Heilin Zhang, and he's going to talk about fertilizing based on soil testing and sensor technology, and he is from Oklahoma State University.
Okay, thank you. I would like to address the agronomic or economic optimum fertilizer rates by better utilize the well-established soil testing strategy, as well as take advantage of the newly developed sensing techniques. And my co-author, Dr. David Knopfinger, is a retired soil physicist, and he helped me to program the decision support system I'm going to discuss about. Dr. Ryan Arnold, our nutrient management research and extension specialist. Normally, you know, when farmers try to make decision whether to fertilize or not, some of them, just based on their experience, they probably continue their practice or maybe learn from coffee shops. But a lot of them do testing soils, whether they follow recommendation or not, but they know what nutrients they have in the soil, how much it need to be applied. And recently, there's new technology helped them to fine-tuning their fertilizer programs. However, when the fertilizer price went up or commodity prices are fluctuating, you know, they always think about it in their back of mind whether I should fertilize following the recommendation or cut back on some nutrients or not. So it comes back to the cost and benefit analysis. Well, from our soil test summary, we know there are some issues need to be addressed. For example, in Oklahoma, we have almost 24% of soils have pH problem. They probably need to address that issue first before they tackle the fertilizer issues. And we also have 72% of soils deficient in phosphorus. Although you hear a lot of people talking about eutrophication or phosphorus buildup, but we're still poor in phosphorus. Without adequate fertility, they may hurt their yields. Potassium is the same way. We have those two categories add together, almost 43% needing phosphorus. So that's something we use to educate our producers. Need at least take the first right step, get a good soil sample. What scares me is in some areas, like this is a medium soil test phosphorus distribution in the state. The southeast corner of the state, there are pasture farmers. They, for a long time, neglect to apply phosphorus. Okay, so they may think nitrogen is only needed. But this is a tool we can educate them and teach them the importance of phosphorus. Potassium is the same way. In Oklahoma, we can range from maybe 100 ppm to 500, 600 ppm in the west. But this area, they always neglect potassium. They may not realize the importance, or because the price is too high. The hay price is not very high, so that's why they try to make a decision based on just one factor, not considering all of them. So we hear a lot of questions. You know, whether should I apply all the fertilizer as recommended or just nitrogen only. So we developed a decision support system, try to help them to just find it out for by themselves. This program can do a lot of things. First of all, if they enter the soil test results like phosphorus, potassium, or nitrogen, pH, they can come here, select the crop, put a year ago, the recommendation is here. So they have some idea as to what to fertilize. They can change it to a different crop. If they change it to soybean, and it's all there. It's online, it's interactive, okay? This program, once you use it once, it will install in your computer, then you don't have to do it online. And since this program was put on the website, I heard a lot of people contact me from Iowa, Illinois, Ohio, as far as New Zealand, Australia, Morocco. They're interested in English units. So recently I revised. I have English units and a reference, a preference here, or even can use an elemental fertilizer instead of oxide forms. So this can be used in the state using English units or internationally using metric units. But this is just a part of the program, okay? The recommendation we based on phosphorus and potassium is using the sufficiency concept. Basically it's a race and mobility concept. The yield is not based on the total available phosphorus in the soil. It's based on the soil test index. For example, as soil test phosphorus increase from 0 to 65, which is a pounds per acre, about twice as high as parts per million, the ability of soil to supply phosphorus increases all the way up to 100%. At this point, we think the soil can supply 100% of phosphorus for this year's crop. If less than 100%, this is the amount of phosphorus fertilizer need to be applied. And we're using the same philosophy for potassium interpretation. So it's a sufficiency concept. It's not a buildup. So if we know a soil test the phosphorus level, the sufficiency concept, and the amount of phosphorus needed, we can do some economical analysis. This is a table just to illustrate the figures you just saw. At different soil test level, we have a sufficiency level go with it. For example, soil test P is 20. The sufficiency is 80%. What it says, if you do not fertilize, you may only get 80% of your potential yield. If you want to get the 100% of potential yield, you need to apply 40 pounds P2O5. Okay? So this is the cost of applying this much phosphorus, $13. But if you don't do that, you lose 20% of yield, then that's the economical loss. So you can kind of compare whether it's economical to fertilize or not. And you have to assume the commodity price, the fertilizer prices as well. And using Excel program, you can plot them, like the blue line on the bottom, that's the cost of fertilizer at different soil test P levels. This is the money lost if you do not fertilizer from the yield loss. Well, if you tell farmers to using this, they're confused, right? So we incorporate into this computer program. For example, the same example, if they want to produce 120 bushels of wheat, need 120 pounds nitrogen, 20 pounds phosphate, and 40 pounds potash. And click this calculator here, it will calculate the fertilizer cost, the values for the yield gained, and then the return minus the fertilizer cost. So that's the cost and the benefit if they follow our soil test recommendation. By choosing the source of fertilizer like urea, ammonia phosphate, and muriate potash, and put a current price right here. Okay, commodity price can be put right here. Okay, so it calculate, if you have multiple acres, you will calculate how much nutrients per acre or total acreage and the cost of that, okay? So if they do not have the capital or have doubt about whether phosphorus really pays, well, they just have another option. And then, like here, I don't want to apply phosphate. Maybe I don't think I will get a return. And click here again, it calculates, well, the fertilizer cost will be reduced. But you only get 80% of your potential yield. So you're going to lose some yields. That's the return minus fertilizer cost. So by skipping phosphate, you're not going to make any money in this case. Okay. So again, what about potassium? Even right now, potassium is still very high. We have a hard time to convince producers to apply balanced nutrient. Well, they can exercise by supplying nitrogen, phosphorus, but not potassium. And the outcome is about the same as skipping phosphate. Well, what happens if I only apply nitrogen, skip both phosphorus and potassium? Well, in this case, the return is much less. Okay. So farmers can use this to do some calculation themselves. Okay. Now, Scott talked about interaction. We're using a multiplicable principle. If you have 80% sufficiency for phosphorus, 90% sufficiency for potassium, then you multiply them together, it's 72%. So I don't know if this is really scientific or not, but that's how we use this one here. You also notice that I fixed nitrogen here. I don't have the data like the surface response model to incorporate nitrogen. We just don't have enough data to consider nitrogen here yet, okay? So this is only for phosphorus and potassium analysis. I said here earlier, based on using this model, using this example, it pays to fertilizer with both phosphorus and potassium. But if the first fertilizer price increases again, commodity price decreases, the outcome could be very different. Actually, using the same scenario, using last year's fertilizer price, maybe it's a good idea to skip phosphorus or potassium, but not at this moment. Okay. So this program, for those participating on the internet, you can click the link you should install on your computer. Okay. Well, what about nitrogen? Traditionally, or we're still using based on yield goal, but 50% of the time we're wrong. Okay, the right rate of nitrogen recommended is too low or too high. Here is what compares no nitrogen and with 100 pounds of nitrogen per acre. And the yield is just up and down. It's hard to, it should give us 50 bushels winter wheat, but it doesn't. Sometimes 60 bushels, other times just 30 bushels. Well, this is why we need to do a better job to improve nitrogen recommendation. Fortunately, our department, led by Dr. Bioran, have developed a sensor-based technology. So I'm not going to talk about detail, just quickly go through that. He's going to speak again this afternoon. And they have been presenting this information for the last 15 years. But basically, it's to implement a nitrogen reference strip in a field. Then, at certain stage of the growth, you're using an active canopy sensor going out of the field to sense the nitrogen reference strip and farmer practice. With that, you get two sensing data. Basically, it's a NDVI, like a wheat. Sensing early March is much better. Corn at V6, V7 stage. They found sensing in the season can predict the yield very well. For example, you can predict what yield you are going to get if you don't fertilize with additional nitrogen, or what kind of yield you would get if you apply some nitrogen. Okay, the RI is the response index. Well, if we can accurately predict the yield and amount of nitrogen, knowing the price of nitrogen, commodity price, we can do some economic analysis as well. So this is an interface for the sensor-based nitrogen rate calculator. It's also on the web. It's interactive. They can go to the field to sense farmers' field. Like this NDVI is 0.64. The nitrogen reference strip is 0.883. Response index is 1.49. That means if you apply nitrogen at the recommended rate, you can get 50% increase in yields. Okay, this is a yield without nitrogen. Yield with nitrogen, the amount needed is 50 pounds per acre. Okay, if you put the grain yield like $5 per bushel and the nitrogen cost, you will calculate the gross return without nitrogen, with nitrogen. Well, the difference here is almost $70, but 50 pounds of nitrogen is only costing $16. So farmers can realize, well, by applying nitrogen, it's a good idea. It pays, it increases yields. So in Oklahoma, we try to using the sensor-based technology to address nitrogen issue, using soil testing to address phosphorus and potassium. And we have some data with pH. We have lots of acid soils. There's interaction also. Actually, we have done some 3D programming using surface response model, but I have not included in this program yet. So my conclusion is very simple. To do a better job, make a better decision when fertilizer price is changing, commodity price is changing, is just by doing a soil test. Okay, I think most states have a good, well-established soil testing lab. A lot of commercial labs available as well. But just remember, collector representative sample, consider the spatial variabilities. Or if there is a possibility using some kind of sensor technology, even if you do not have a sensor, just by putting a reference strip in the field, it will tell you whether you're going to get a response or not. Okay. So for those of you who are interested in this program, and this is a link again, as I mentioned, if you run it the first time, you should install on your desktop. And after you use it, if you have any feedbacks, and let me know, I would appreciate, and we're going to improve that. The caveat is this is Oklahoma recommendation. PNK, we are using Melix 3. If you're in a state using different methods, that may not apply. Also, this is our philosophy, you know, starting from Dr. Billy Tucker, Bob Westman, Gordon Johnson, they formulated this recommendation scheme. If you have a different approach, this may not apply to your situation as either. And as far as the sensor-based nitrogen management technique, it's on our NUE website. There's a lot of information. So I think if we, by combine those two different techniques, we can do a much better job. Hopefully we can incorporate the pH interaction into the nutrient efficiency program. That would be much better. I think that's what I have.
I think we have time for a question or two, if there's any.
The question is, how did we develop P and K sufficiency curves? Well, I think they did some field study in the 60s, 70s, and it's not really well documented. It's not in publication anywhere, just in notes. But we do have some long-term fertility plots, and I checked against our current recommendation. I do not think we need to revise it much. It's pretty, like our cutoff for soil test P is 65, which is pretty conservative. It's 33 ppm. But when you get a soil test P about 60, you really don't get a yield response. So I'm pretty confident. For potassium, 250 pounds per acre or 125 ppm is our cutoff for most crops. For alfalfa, it's a little bit higher, it's 350. And again, we have some long-term plots in low potassium area and a high potassium area, it seems working okay. Yes. Okay, the question is what computer platform we're using. It's Java. So if you are using an old computer, want to use in this program, you need to download a Java program. It's very easy. Newer computer, you don't need to. It's already there. So I'm not very good at computer. I asked Dr. Nafsinger, who is very good at computer program this. Yes, Nathan. Okay. His question is if we have any probability data for success or accuracy, right? No, we do not. I think we're using our long-term plots to check from year to year. But there are a lot of variabilities there. Nitrogen precipitation, that's a big one. So this is just our best approach.
Thanks again.